been there in this local church several times, and I have been blessed by being there with this good elder far more than I could ever be a blessing. And we prayed about it last year at camp, wanting to seek direction. And before we left last year at camp, myself and the other preachers felt impressed that Brother Godair was the man to come and preach to us. And we're so thankful. Sister Godair has been very sick the last few weeks, not able to travel. And yet we're so thankful that he made the sacrifice to come and to be a few nights with us in Toccoa, Georgia at Cornerstone Family Camp. How many's going to help the man of God preach tonight? Why don't we welcome Brother Godair? Elder, we're so glad you're here. God bless you.
Well, let's give our praise to the Lord tonight. Would you worship Him? Amen, 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 amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Brother Weeks. It's great to be in camp meeting. Great to be on this campground. And thank you for the invitation again to come. I am honored that you've invited me and happy to be here. Brother and Sister Weeks, daughter, friends of mine for a long, long time. And I appreciate them so much. You've blessed our church over and over. And we're really glad to be with them, the other ministers that are here on the platform and the audience. It's great to see all of you. Great to see all the saints of God, the young people that are here. To be in camp meeting again. Thank you again for letting me come, and thank you for the wonderful room that I'm in and enjoying, the good goodie basket and just all your kindness. I appreciate it so very, very much. What a great campground. What a great place for God's people to meet and have good fellowship and have good worship and have preaching of the Word. For the LVR, you bless me today. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Praise God. I was blessed and stirred by the preaching of this good man of God today. What a blessing. What a blessing. God is a God of miracles. I said, God is a God of miracles. Amen. 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 The meals have been great. Fellowship's been good. There's one thing that I looked for and that you didn't have. The only thing Weeks that I could figure out that y'all didn't have on this campground. And I took care of that this afternoon. I went to Walmart and got me a jar of peanut butter. That's the only thing. Man, a day without peanut butter is a wasted day. It's wasted. Yeah. You just might as well not live. You can't eat peanut butter. Oh, and I love peanut butter and I eat it every day in my life. I think even if you're fasting, God would probably let you eat a little peanut butter. I sneak some in once in a while. Amen. But it's great, great, great to be with you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter number 16. And I'll start reading at verse number 13. Matthew 16 and verse number 13. The singing is beautiful. The music is tremendous. Amen. All these musicians and singers have just absolutely blessed us. The hand be great. God bless you. Amen. All the rest of you. Matthew 16 and verse 13. You could probably quote it, many of you, but let me read it. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, others Elias, perhaps others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. Great, great scriptures from the Word of the Lord. And I want to preach tonight, and if I could use a text, a subject, it would be in the form of a question. Can you explain Jesus? Can you explain Jesus? I want to talk about that for a little while. Brother Weeks, why don't you come and pray for us?
Thank you, Lord, for every man and every woman, every brother and sister in Christ that's in this place. Thank you, God, for every young person. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that's about to be preached to us. Give us ears to hear, Lord, what the Spirit has to say to the church. Let the anointing flow in this house. Bless your messenger in a mighty way. God, we give you praise. Lord, we look to you with expectation in our hearts for the mighty things that shall be done before this service is over. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you for standing. You may be seated, and God bless you tonight. Can you explain Jesus? Can you account for His place in history? Can you understand, and do you understand who He was? Do we understand why He came? Do we understand what He did and what He brought to our world? The outsider and those that look on that do not really, and Christianity has fallen on hard times recently. Christianity has been flaunted, as pushed aside and castigated and kindly, shoved aside. And a lot of people are down on Christians. And I'm here tonight to lift up not just a denomination or a fellowship or an organization, but lift up the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I feel like that the main purpose of the church tonight is to lift up Jesus, to exalt Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is our message. He is our subject. He is our song. He is our hope. Amen. I won't tell you probably anything you don't already know tonight. I'm just in this pulpit for a few moments to lift up the name of the Lord. Praise God, praise God. The world would ask the question, well, what did Jesus really ever accomplish? And some of them would ask, did He accomplish a single thing while He was here on this earth that would make people famous? If you're thinking about famous people, well-known people, what accomplishment can you attribute to Jesus that He did during His life? After all, He only lived 33 or 33 and a half years. And 30 of those years was lived in total obscurity. For 30 years, there's not much in the Bible said about Him. We read about His birth. We read about a little about His childhood. Days, we read about at the age of 12 when He was asking questions that the doctors and the learned men could not answer. He was answering questions that they asked. And it was said of Him during His ministry, never a man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man. His ministry, how did He impact the whole world? His ministry only lasted 3 or 3.5 years. That was the total of His ministry, 3.5 years. And yet, He was the most famous person in history. Amen. During all of His ministry, you might point out that for 3.5 years, He was basically unemployed. I'm talking about explaining Jesus. 30 years or so He spent in a carpenter shop. 3.5 years, an itinerant, unemployed preacher. The world would say, because that's all they can see in Him. That's all they know about Him. But I'm going to tell you tonight that if He is so obscure, then why is it that time in history is judged by His coming? Amen. When He came, everything before Him is B.C. It's before Christ. Everything after Him is A.D. It's Anno Domini, which is a Latin word for after Christ. Amen. I'm telling you that when He came, history stood still.
everything stopped and everything started all over again with the coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he is so obscure in the thinking of so many people, why are there more books that have been written about him than any other man in history? Hallelujah. Jesus never did live to even get to middle age. In fact, he never lived to half of the 70. Amen. And to the doubters and to the critics, they would say, who is Jesus really, anyhow? As far as the world's concerned, there are many gods. Paul said there are lords many and gods many. But to us, there's one Lord, Jesus Christ. If he is so meaningless, why is it that a lot of people want to be like him? And the Apostle Paul, a learned scholar, could say, I've given up everything and count it but dung that I may win Christ. Hallelujah. Paul said, I put everything behind me that I may know him. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. How many want to really know him? We don't need to know of him or know about him. We need to know him. To know him, to really know him, is life eternal. Let's clap our hands for the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, you may be seated, God bless you, that there are people that are assembled here tonight. And people assemble together all around the world. The world says he is meaningless and obscure, and he's just another man. But I'm here to say he was more than a man. He was more than a priest. He was more than a rabbi. He was more than a prophet. He was more than a good man. He was the Son of God. He was the mighty God manifest in flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More songs are sung about Jesus than any other person that ever lived. Amen. I don't know how many songs are sung about Muhammad. I don't know how many songs are sung about Buddha. I don't know how many songs are sung about Hare Krishna. I don't know how many songs are sung about other famous people. But there's a lot of songs that have been written by him. And about him, about him. Hallelujah. I love to sing about Jesus. I love to sing tonight, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his holy name. That's the reason why I love him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Hallelujah. I love to sing, there's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing. And he keeps me singing as I go. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Why, if he's so obscure, why is there more poetry written about him than anybody else? Why are there hundreds and even thousands of buildings that have been built costing billions of dollars just to come and talk about this man? Hallelujah. There have been the Caesars, and there has been a famous man like Churchill and Roosevelt. There's been King George and Queen Elizabeth. There's been the Neros, and there's been George Washington. There's been Lincoln, and there's been Hitler. But I'm going to tell you, their fame does not compare to this man. I said, their notoriety does not compare to this man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They don't compare in what they did to what he did. There is no human explanation for Jesus Christ. You've got to tap into the Spirit. You've got to tap into spiritual understanding and purpose. You can't understand and fathom God with a carnal mind. There has been the Platos and the Socrates and the Aristotle. And there has been different people that have come and gone. But I want to tell you tonight that the name of Jesus stands out above all of them. There's been the Shakespeare. There's been the Poe. There's been the William Jennings Bryan. There's been the Wordsworth. There's been all of these people. But none of them compared to him. What they did lives for a while, and a little is said about him, and they're gone. But I'm going to tell you what he did is living on tonight in Toccoa, Georgia. What he did 2,000 years ago is alive in the hearts of people in this campground tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Great, you may be seated. Great names in history. MacArthur, Eisenhower, generals, George Patton, and Grant, and Lee, and Napoleon. They're all just absolutely powerless compared to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that the amazing life of Jesus still lives on. Amen. He wrote no books. Jesus personally wrote no books. Not one book. Amen. He was not an architect that drew plans to build buildings. He erected no buildings. He fought no wars or battles. There was no medal on his uniform. Amen. Hallelujah. He had no throne when he lived 33 and a half years on this earth. What did he do? You say, what did Jesus do? What does he mean? I'm telling you that he had no wealth. He was not a scientist. He built no school. He built no college or university. Hallelujah. And yet, he has influenced the world more than all schools combined. What can you tell me about Jesus tonight? What do you know about Jesus? Hallelujah. Can you explain him? Glory to God. Glory to God. If he had been born in an emperor's palace, then we would say he inherited his power. If he had been of great wealth, then we would have said he bought his power. If he had led an army to victory, then we could say his power came from a sword. Hallelujah. But I'm talking about a man that never marshaled an army. I'm talking about a man that never built a university. I'm not talking about one of the world's financial premier men. Hallelujah. In fact, he had no money and had to send a disciple down to catch a fish so he could pay his taxes and Jesus' tax. Anybody know about Jesus tonight? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I said he sent a man to get the fish and open his mouth, and there was the money to pay his taxes. You know, I think it's wonderful that it said of him in the scripture, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Amen. He did not say, I'll make you hunters. And we may have some hunters in the building. And we may have some fishermen in the building. And I saw one man on this platform, and I'll not tell who, that I saw his picture today, and he caught a big fish. Amen. We're not going to tell who, but there's some hunters in this house. There's some fishermen in this house. But Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say, I'll make you hunters. Because hunting implies bullets, and fishing implies bait. Hallelujah. We're not out to kill people. We're out to help people. We're out to get people saved. We're out to get people to repent of sins and be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody clap your hands. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus did not ever own a house. In fact, I don't even know if he owned a bed. He said the foxes have a hole and the birds have a nest, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He didn't own a house or a bed. I don't know if he even owned a cot or a rollaway bed. I don't know what he had. He wasn't born in a hospital. He wasn't even born in a house. Amen. When I was born, they didn't have many hospitals. Boy, I'm telling you, I go way back. Praise God. I was born in a house, but Jesus wasn't born in a hospital or a house. The Bible said they laid him in a manger. He was born in an area where the stable was, and that speaks of animals being around there. Jesus was not born into a powerful family, into an elite family, into a well-known family. They said of him, where did he get this knowledge? Where did he get this learning? You've got to understand throughout all of this that Jesus was more than just a man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why are we gathered here tonight? It's all about Jesus. His parents, as we look in the scripture, his mother and Joseph were anonymous people. He grew up in a carpenter's house. He lived in a humble town in Galilee called Nazareth. He never traveled very much. In fact, I don't know if he ever traveled 200 miles from his home. Amen. He never saw Cairo. He never saw London. He never saw Los Angeles. He never saw New York City. He never saw Athens. In fact, he never did see Corinth or Rome. Hallelujah. His ministry was 3.5 years, and then it was cut off. But he said before he died, you're not taking my life, I'm giving it. Pilate said, don't you know I've got the power to kill you and I've got the power to release you? And he said, sir, you have no power except it be given to you from above. They didn't take his life, he gave it. I said he gave his life to save us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yet millions of people through the years have lived for him. Many have been willing to suffer for him. Many have been willing to sacrifice great sacrifices for him. Even some have been willing to die for him. Paul was beheaded for him. Amen. All the other apostles died the death of a martyr except John the Revelator. And they banished him to an isle called Patmos. And they thought in that rocky, craggy island of just a few thousand square feet, they thought we'll banish him there and we'll shut up his message. And I'm going to tell you that when John got to Patmos, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God began to speak to my heart, and he said, John, what you see, you write it in a book. Listen, you can't banish this message to a barren island. You can't cut the head off a preacher and stop the message. The message is alive. It's living. It's meaningful. It's vibrant. My, my, my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He never had a job. He never owned property. He never had a house. Amen. Hallelujah. But people have been willing to make great sacrifices for him. Some have been burned at the stake for him. Some have been boiled in oil for him. Some have been imprisoned for life for him. Some have been beaten to death for him. Some have had their brains dashed out for him. Some have been exiled to another place for him. I'm going to tell you, he is physically gone, but he's still alive. We know him no more after the flesh, but we know him tonight after the spirit. Hallelujah! Why do missionaries go to Asia and South America and Africa and Australia and Europe and out North America and the islands of the sea? Why do they go? I'm going to tell you, because they got the burning substance of the message of Jesus in their heart. Hallelujah! Why does a home missionary go and start a church in a storefront? Because it's all about Jesus. Why does a missionary go to Brazil and go up in the outer country and preach the gospel to people that have never heard it and have been involved in devil worship? Why do they do it? It's all about him. Paul said, let me tell you a little who he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you who Jesus is tonight. Paul said, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him. He's not the second person of the Godhead. He's not the second person of some triune formula of God. But I hear John saying, he's the first and he's the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the first. And he's the last. He's the one which is, and which was, and which is to come. He's the Almighty. He's not part mighty. He's not one-third mighty. He is Almighty. Supreme. When you worship Jesus, you're worshiping the true God. Let's worship him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Jesus pastored no great church. In fact, I don't know how many followers he had during that 3.5 years, but I read where, after his resurrection, he was seen of about 500 at one time. I don't know. I know there were great crowds that came, but a lot of them came for the fishes, and they came for the loaves, and they came to see a miracle. But when the miracle wasn't happening that moment, and when the bread and the fish were not being distributed in that moment, they walked away, all but 12. And Jesus turned to them and said, will you go away also? And I like Simon Peter. Amen. He may be a loudmouth fella. He may have spoke when he ought to have listened. He may have said, you will never wash my feet. He may have said some things when he should have listened. And I'm going to tell you, when Peter cut the ear of the high priest's servant off, amen, I can't help but believe he wasn't just going for the ear. He was going for blood. It was a little misguided sword play on his part. He was going to defend Jesus. He was out to take care of him. Amen, I'll defend him. But I'm telling you, I like Simon Peter when he said, you've been out there and hurt the people. What do they say? What is the world? What's the people saying? Well, some say that you're Isaiah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're one of the prophets. First question was, who do men say that I am? And the second question was, more pointed and direct, but whom say ye that I am? And I like Simon Peter's boldness. He said, I don't have to guess on that. I don't have to think that over. Thou art the Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You may be seated. This is not really my subject tonight, but I don't think you can read the Bible and get away from Jesus being the mighty God. Amen. But he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but the Father. Let me tell you, the Father's not flesh and blood. Some people say there's three persons, three separate distinct persons, personalities in the Godhead. We that have understanding of the revelation, the name of Jesus, know that there's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Bible never says there's two. The Bible never says there's three. The Bible never says there's two persons, or three persons. But hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. And there is one God who is Father of all, who's above all, who's through all, who's in you all. The Apostle Paul must have been a Southerner when he said he's through all and he's in you all. See, that's the way we talk in the South. He's in you all. Amen. If he'd have been from California, he'd probably said you guys. If he'd have been from someplace, he'd probably said you and his. But Paul was a Southerner. He said he's in you all. Amen. But I'm telling you who Paul was. He understood the mighty God in Christ. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He founded no church. He built no church. He pastored no people. He built no seminary. He built no training ground. He built no Bible school. His training ground was out on the hillside. It was at the temple. It was by the seaside. It was anywhere he could get the people and talk to people. Somebody clap your hands with me. Praise his name. Amen. Jesus probably actually had a police record. Because for a while, he was a fugitive. Now just think about that. Amen. Before he was condemned and sentenced in a Roman court as a criminal, he was looked for a while. I'm not saying he broke the law. He didn't break the law. That's not the point. But I'm talking about what the world thinks about him. They condemned him and they sentenced him to die. Hallelujah. And yet every Sunday, there are people that are driving buses and vans and automobiles to pick up people and bring them to a building to hear about this man. We got people that go into jails and prisons just to tell people about this man. We got people that go into rest homes to tell people about this man. We got people that will break open a Bible study and start teaching a Bible study to tell people about this man. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Last Thursday night I had the pleasure of teaching a couple of Bible study and been baptized and received the Holy Ghost recently in our church. This coming Saturday, when I get home Friday, on Saturday I will teach another Bible study at 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon. You know what? I've got a message to tell. We're not wandering around here aimlessly. I've got a message to tell. We've got a gospel to preach. We got a God to love. We got a Holy Ghost to enjoy. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! As long as we've got life and breath, we ought to declare his name. We ought to shout unto him. We ought to sing unto him. We ought to worship him. We ought to love him. As long as you've got a voice, declare his name. Hallelujah! Somebody say praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm kind of like the old preacher from the South that said, I'm going to fight the devil as long as I got a fist. And I'm going to bite him as long as I got teeth. And then I'll come him till I die. Praise God. Amen. I don't want the devil like me and I don't like him. Glory to God. My message is against the kingdom of hell. The message we preach is against the powers of darkness. And against spirits of wickedness in high places. That's why God said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And when you've done all to stand, just stand. Don't go back. Don't look back. Don't turn back. Go forward. Jesus never owned a cemetery lot. Hallelujah. I said Jesus never owned a cemetery lot. Amen. He borrowed a sepulcher to be buried in. He was the most unpopular man in town. If you're out to win a popularity contest, you'll never do it preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching Acts 2:38. You'll never win a popularity contest. We're not in this to win popularity contests. We're in this for the divine favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, he was so unpopular, they asked him to leave town. They wanted him out of their town. They wanted him out of their midst. On one occasion, they got after him, and he went over the brow of the hill, and he escaped because they couldn't kill him until he was ready to die. He said, "You're not taking my life, I'm giving it. For this purpose was I born, and to this end came I in the world." Hallelujah, hallelujah. He was an unpopular figure in his day. He was the most unpopular member of his family. Hallelujah. And yet we still sing tonight, 2,000 years later, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prosper. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." The kids still sang in a Sunday school class, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong." Hallelujah. 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 He left no college, no monument, no school. I cannot tell you about his human accomplishments. Amen. But why is it that people leave a lucrative job and a high-paying position to start a church or to go somewhere as a missionary just to tell somebody else about Jesus? I want to say this tonight, friend. You may be seated. My message is Jesus. Don't get me wrong. We got to preach the whole Bible. We got to preach everything that the Bible teaches. But our message is Jesus. When I go to the pulpit every week, I'm not there to lift up myself. I'm there to lift up Jesus. I'm not there to tell what I can do. I'm here to tell what he can do. I'm not there to exalt self or personality. I'm there to lift up the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why do people go door to door and tell people about Jesus? Why do they pass out tracts and church cards to tell people about Jesus? Hallelujah. Why do we take communion in his honor and in his memory? Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus. Amen. And the crowd that he got and picked out to be his disciples was not a likely crowd to breed success. I mean, when you look at these men, that's not the men you pick out. Amen. Just think of this. The most important thing in all time since the beginning is about to happen, and look at the men that he picked to be his first gospel team. Look at the men he picked. Amen. If you're thinking, well, Jesus is so wise and so on, then he will pick outstanding specimens of manhood and humanity. He will pick men of education, men that are gifted in body and mind and soul above the common run of humanity. Hallelujah. But who were these men? They were fresh from the fishing nets. They came from tax collecting for Rome. They came from political fanaticism. Surely Simon Peter was not the best material available. Hallelujah. Everything he said in the Gospels was a mistake. He said, "I've left all to follow you." What are we going to get out of it? You're thinking of coming to Jesus, and we left all to follow you. What are we getting? What should we have there for? What are we going to get out of this? When Peter opened his mouth, it was oftentimes a mistake. And he said, one time he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Why don't we build 3 tabernacles? One for Moses, and one for Elijah, and one for you." Brother, after a while, when the glory of God was in that place, Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. But the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God preached, and every man presseth into it. After a while, they couldn't see Moses. They couldn't see Elijah. They saw no man save Jesus only. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! But Peter said, Lord, let's build three tabernacles. Peter's the one that said, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet. Peter's the one that looked at him before he died and said, Jesus, this will never happen to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the horrible thing that happened on the night of our Lord's trial, it was Peter that cursed and swore and denied that he knew Jesus. They said, are you with him? He said, I wasn't. They said, what do you know about him? He said, I don't even know the man. You imagine somebody's walked with him 3.5 years saying, I don't even know the man. And he cursed to prove it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, once you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, once you've been in the presence of Jesus, you can't even cuss good. Glory to God. I'm telling you, once you've been in the presence of God, you try to cuss and it don't even sound right. You try to hold a cigarette, you don't remember how you held it. You try to put beer to your mouth and you don't remember how it goes in. I'm going to tell you that Jesus will transform your life. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. You may be seated, please. Was this the best available prospects to lead the 12? Were these 12 the best you could find? Is this the best you can do, Jesus? Among the 12 were 3 other fishermen. There was Andrew and James and John. There was Matthew, who was a Jewish tax collector for Rome. There was Simon Zelotes, who was a political enthusiast. And our Lord himself said one time, speaking to these men, he said, have not I chosen you, and one of you is a devil. What kind of men have I got to try to shake this world with? I've chosen 12. One of you is the devil. Hallelujah. I've tried to encourage myself at times when somebody left or quit church or didn't serve the Lord. They didn't all follow Jesus. They didn't all stick with him. They didn't all stay with him. If one out of the 12 was the devil, hearing God in the flesh and the greatest preacher on earth, hallelujah, how many am I going to have out of 12? Little old me, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Somebody's going to heaven. If you don't, somebody will. If you don't live for God, somebody will. Amen. I said, if you don't make it, somebody will. You may be seated. I tell them some of the men last night, first church we ever started in the state of Missouri. Man came to me one time, and he said, Pastor, I'm going to leave this church, and when I leave, you're going to have to put a padlock on the doors. And I said, you know what? This is a good chance for us to find out whether this is God's church or my church. If it's mine, it's going to go down. If it belongs to him, you or nobody else can stop it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In less than 3 years, that man came back to me and said, let me come back to church. And he came back and did well. Let me tell you something. The church can operate with me or without me. It can operate with you or without you. God wants you. God wants to help you. God wants to use you. But we need God more than he needs us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. So the way Jesus did it didn't just add up. Why didn't Jesus convert 12 rabbis who were familiar with the scripture? Men of religion, men of learning, men of special abilities. What hope could there be for the greatest message in the world to be on the shoulders of 12 men that were not distinct at all? What message? What hope could there be for this message? But I'm going to tell you, 2,000 years later, this message is being preached around the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This Acts 2:38 message is being preached around the world. Thank God for this message. Thank God for this message. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said, we know him no more after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. And John said, I've heard of him. and you've heard of Him. And though we don't see Him now, yet we love Him. You've not seen Him, for we know Him no more after the flesh. But I'm telling you, we love Him because He first loved us. What did Jesus ever do? What did He ever accomplish? I've told you what He didn't do. But let me tell you, closing, what He did do. There's one thing that He did that nobody else did. You think of another religious man, and he died, and he stayed in the grave. You think of another religious leader, and he died, and he stayed in the grave. You think of another, and another, and another, and another. When they died, their bones were left in the grave. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about my subject tonight. This man went into the grave, but 3 days later, he came out with the keys of death and of hell, and He's alive forevermore. And you ask me how I know He lives. He lives in my heart. Let's all stand right now. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Somebody clap your hands and praise Him right now. Up from the grave He arose in a mighty triumph over His foes. The others died and they're in the grave. But Jesus died and He came out. He died. He was buried. He resurrected the third day. He started a church at Pentecost. He sent forth the Holy Ghost. He lives in my heart. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I found out about Jesus, and I'm so glad I did. He was God in the flesh. He saved me from sin. He healed my body. He blesses my soul. We don't worship just anybody. We're worshiping Him because He is our Savior, our God, and our Redeemer. I remain standing. I could sing tonight. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. He brought me out of a horrible pit. He placed my feet upon a solid rock. He established my goings. What can you tell me about Jesus? What can you tell me about Jesus? The man who was born. And you know, if I was to go and knock on your door and you didn't come to church and know God, and I'd say, I'm here to tell you, Brother, Mr. Towne, if you weren't a Christian, I'd say, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Let's assume He says, well, I don't know Him. Who is He? And I say that He's a man that lived 2,000 years ago. And He said, that's good. I assume that a lot of men lived 2,000 years ago. And I say, well, He was different. He was perfect. You say, well, He must not have been married yet. Praise God. Thought I'd just slip that in there, you know. And if I'd say, I want you to come to our church, I want to tell you about Jesus. And He'd say, well, tell me a little more about Him. And I'd say, well, He was born without an earthly daddy. And He says, what? And I'd say, furthermore, let me tell you, sir, that the day He was born, His mother was still a virgin. And He'd say, you're crazy. That's correct. He didn't have an earthly father. His father was God, and the Spirit of God conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary and brought forth the Son of God. His father was God, the Eternal Spirit. Hallelujah. His father was not Joseph. He was not the son of Joseph. He was the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. His greatest enemy said, I find no fault in Him. I've looked Him over. I've examined Him. But I find no fault in Him. Hallelujah. I want to follow a man like that. The perfect, spotless, sinless Savior of the world. I want to hear what He said. I want to obey His voice. Hallelujah. I want to get men to pray. And women and young people to pray and ask Jesus to forgive their sin and get baptized in His name and get filled with His Spirit. Since he died and was buried and rose again, I'm going to believe what he said. One man said one time, you can trust a man that's willing to die for it. You can trust a man that's willing to die for you. And brother, let me tell you, he who knew no sin became sin. He bore our sins upon the tree. And with his stripes are healed. The nails driven into his hands, his feet, the spear that pierced his side from which blood and water flowed forth, and the crown of thorns on his head and the blood that fell down was all for our salvation. Amen. The stripes laid on his back was for our healing. I'm glad to tell you I know who Jesus is. I'm not a singer, so just don't try to keep up with me because I'm not a singer. I'm just making a point. I heard somebody wrote a song one time that said, he's my Lord and my God. And he's not just a stranger to me. When I looked past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. I love him tonight, not just for some so-called human accomplishments. I love him because he's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. In 1956, I knelt at an altar. I prayed. I repented. He forgave me. I got baptized in his name. My sins were washed away. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I've been happy since the day he set me free. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Down from his glory, redemption's glory, our God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. You say, Brother Goodray, you can't sing. Boy, I know that. I know that. But I tell you, I sing good in the shower. I sing good when I'm driving down the road by myself. Hallelujah. That old-time preacher, Billy Bray, that came to him, he'd sing and shout all the time and holler at people across the street. He'd say, praise the Lord over the brother. He embarrassed some nice church-going people. Praise the Lord over the brother. Praise the Lord. They said, Billy, you can't sing. You're always singing. He said, I know it. But he said, God just soon to hear a crow as a mockingbird. They said, why don't you quit saying praise the Lord? He said, fellas, I tried that. But when my mouth quit saying, every time I raise my right foot, it'd say, praise the Lord. Every time I raise my left foot, it'd say, hallelujah. He said, I decided I'd better say it with my mouth than let my feet say it. And somebody said, Billy, if after all of your shouting and singing and praising the Lord, what if you die and go to hell? He stood there a minute and he said, gentlemen, it's not going to happen, but I'm going to go along with your folly. I'd shout all the way to hell. Then he said, I'd get down there in that bad place. That old booger, I'd be praising the Lord, saying, hallelujah, glory to God. That old booger man would come over me and say, Billy, you can't do that down here. And I'd say, thank you, sir, and I'd shout all the way out. Hallelujah! You can't stop a shouting man. You can't stop a thing. Somebody ought to praise him. Somebody ought to praise him. Let your voice say it. Let your feet say it. I love you, Jesus. Down from his glory, oh, redemption's story. Our God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger. A man of sorrow, grief and agony. Oh, how I love him. If you know it, sing it with me. How I adore my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator, became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Sing it with me, I feel it. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. What can you tell me about Jesus tonight? What's He done for you? Has He redeemed you? Has He forgiven your sin? Has He filled you with the Holy Ghost? Has He healed your body? Has He blessed your soul? Has He supplied your needs? Fanny Crosby was born blind. I guess she was born blind. She was blind. She was teaching some high school college students one day. She was totally blind. She was saying, when I get to heaven, I'm going to know Him. I'm going to know Him. And some student came to her after class and said, Miss Crosby, you said you was going to know Him. And said, you're blind and you can't see a thing. How are you going to know Him? She went back to her little old room she lived in and got a pencil out or a quail or whatever they had then. Sat down with some paper. Hallelujah. And she started writing a song. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. When redeemed by His side, I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. By the print of the nails in His hand. I may not see Him, but I shall know Him. I may not have eyesight, but I shall know Him. When redeemed by His side, I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. By the print of the nails in His hand. Forgive me, Brother Hanby, for butchering the song. I feel it deep in my spirit tonight. Oh, it's good to know Him. It's good to know Him. I heard a missionary tell years ago when he came through Southeast Missouri, he told the story that somewhere in one of the countries of Africa, there was a missionary that preached in an obscure village, and he preached about Jesus. He told him how he loved Him and died for Him, and there and resurrected and sent to heaven, sent the Holy Ghost, they could have it. They'd never heard the name of Jesus mentioned in all of their life. All of their life, they'd never heard His name. So the missionary went back to his little place of abode, his little hut. And he was in there about 2 o'clock in the morning. No electricity. And he heard a little tap on the door. He thought, man, somebody's come to do me harm. Somebody's come to hurt me. And he went to the door. There was a man standing there, a native. And he had tears flowing down his cheeks. In the few words of broken English, he said, Mr. Missionary, would you tell me His name again? Mr. Missionary, would you tell me His name again? Somebody wants to hear that name one more time. Oh, tell me His name again. And sing me the sweet refrain of Him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has stirred is the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes tears, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me His name again. Hallelujah. Don't you love it? Shut up.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This elder has preached to us about the healer. He's preached to us about the deliverer. He's preached to us about the spirit baptizer. This has already been a day of healing. This has already been a day of miracles. With all of these good men of God up here, I think, again tonight, there are those that were not in the service today, and there are those that are still arriving on the campground. There was a woman that pressed her way through the crowd to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. And when she touched Jesus, she was made whole. There was a blind man sitting by the wayside in Jericho, and he just heard that Jesus was coming by, and he lifted up his voice and said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Somebody could get what they need in this service tonight. Somebody could touch God for a loved one in this service tonight.
Let me interrupt. I don't ever do this. I don't want to belabor the point. Give me just a few seconds. It'll be 2 years next month. I had some heart trouble in August. It'll be 2 years next month. I went to the doctor. They had to go up through the groin into my heart. They said, "We'll work inside of your heart for 3 hours. It'll take 3 hours." And they worked 6 hours in my heart. Amen. It's the only person that's ever been in my heart besides my wife and Jesus. And doctor came out perspiring, told my wife, said it was a lot worse than we thought. And so I stayed in the hospital a while. Church was praying, fasting, got out of the hospital, got feeling better, make it real quick. In October, 2 months later, I went to Brother McKillop's at New Brunswick in their anniversary conference. And got there Thursday night, and I preached on Thursday night. Brother Wade Bass preached on Friday night, and I preached Saturday morning. The only strange thing about that, I preached Saturday morning. I have no memory of Saturday. None. I have no memory of Friday night going to bed. I have no memory of Saturday. I preached a sermon. They got it. They sent me a copy, and I've never listened to it yet. I ain't got the nerve. I have zero memory. A man took me in his pickup truck, they said, and took me back to Maine, to the town right there in Presque Isle, Maine. What, an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is. I have no memory. I don't know who took me. He put me on a plane. I have no memory. I flew to Boston. I have no memory. I changed planes in that busy Logan airport. I have no memory. I got to Raleigh, Durham. My wife and daughter picked me up. They said, "You don't act right." And I said, "Take me home." That's what they said, I said. I have no memory. I came to the house. I said, "Take me home." I got to the house, got out in the carport, fell in the carport, started vomiting. Wife said, "Baby, you're going to the hospital." That was Saturday night. I have no memory till late Sunday night after midnight. None. I remember nothing. They said, "You got a blood clot on your brain." They drilled holes in the side of my head, and the blood shot out. The doctor told me it was all over his clothes. I have the x-rays in my office right now. When I had the blood clot, my brain, you can see it. I'm not a technician. But you can see where the blood had pushed my brain all the way to one side. Hallelujah. The church was praying and fasting. And after, when I went back and had another x-ray made, it's lined up. It's in perfect alignment. So if I excel at night, I don't have excuse. Hallelujah. But God healed me. I have no memory. A blood clot in the brain. I went back 30 days later. The doctor said, "Reverend, you know you shouldn't be alive." And I said, "I know it, sir. But I had a good doctor, and I had a great God." Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I believe the healer's in this house tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for you to make a little bit of room tonight for those that want to come forward tonight. I believe somebody could get your healing tonight. If you'd like to stand in for somebody
that needs a healing that may not be in this place, and you'd like for God to reach down and touch them where they are. I believe it can happen. There can be testimonies from this camp this week. God did something at Cornerstone Family Camp 2015, and things have never been the same. Hallelujah. There's some moving forward. Hallelujah. 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 Come on up. Praise the Lord. Come on up. There's room up here. Come on, sisters, here to my right. Hallelujah. Make your way on up. Men of God, if you join with me. Hallelujah. Thank God for these pastors. Thank God for these elders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preachers, if you'd help me. If you, somebody here tonight needs the Holy Ghost, why don't you make your way on up? If somebody needs a renewing of the Holy Ghost, there's a backslider here tonight. You need to come back to God. Come on. Come on back to God. Come on back tonight. Come on back tonight. Come on. There's folks walking toward the front. Come on, saints. Let's pray with them. Come on, people of God. Let's reach out toward them. There's healing in this place. There's deliverance in this place. The power of God is in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, reach out to it. Reach out to it. Reach out to it. Reach out to it.